when it comes to having a larger pipeline of digital talent that is more female than it has been before, you know, how does one go about that? Partly this can be about ensuring that there are equal numbers of male and female candidates for any such role, addressing some of the stereotypes.
I'm Michelle King, and this is She Innovates, a podcast that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. On today's podcast, I have Sadia Zahidi, the head of education, gender, and work at the World Economic Forum. She's also a member of the executive committee at the World Economic Forum. And today we're going to be chatting with Sadia about the unique skills that women can contribute to the changing world of work, and also what organizations and leaders can do to prevent the gender gap from widening. Sadia, welcome to our podcast. And I just wanted to get started by maybe getting you to share a little bit of background here for some of our listeners on the gender gap report. You know, what is it? Why are these findings so important for businesses?
Sure. So the Global Gender Gap Report is a tool for assessing how equally countries are distributing their resources and opportunities between women and men. And we look at four areas, health and survival, educational attainment, economic participation and opportunity, and political empowerment. And why the findings are so important for business, it's really because the report shows that around the world, when it comes to talent, particularly skilled talent is actually more female than male today. And that is because over the last couple of decades, a lot more women than men have been going into university. And so as we prepare for, you know, the future of work, as we look at innovation and creativity, as we look at the broader sort of economic case, it's quite clear that there has to be gender parity when it comes to the labor force. And yet that is exactly where some of the key gaps are. And that is where we're also starting to find that things are regressing.
I just find that really troubling that, you know, things are regressing. I guess I just wondered, in terms of skill sets required for the future, so looking ahead at things like the rise of AI or disruptive technologies or automation, how is that going to affect women? What are the unique skills that women have that are important for the changing world of work?
There are going to be major disruptions to business models. In fact, there already are. Creativity and out-of-the-box thinking become even more important rather than less important in that changing context. And that is where the diversity piece becomes even more critical in the future than it is at the moment. That said, there are three sort of major messages around what the changing world of work will mean for gender parity at the moment. One is that the sets of professions that are likely to grow, which are in STEM or engineering-related fields, tend to be the professions where there is a smaller pipeline of women in most advanced economies in particular. So there is a possibility of a widening gender gap in some of those high-growth, high-skilled professions. A second aspect is that there are declining professions which tend to have quite a few women employed. So we tend to think of blue-collar male factory workers, but actually the next wave of disruptions will also affect services and administrative workers. And so those are professions that have employed a lot of women in middle-class livelihoods in the last couple of decades. And then a third trend that needs to be looked at is some of the growing professions of the future are tied to the education sector, the health sector, and the care sector. And those all happen to be sectors that have fairly large pipelines of women going in, but they also need to be professionalized and made into higher income sectors. And there needs to be better opportunity for women in leadership in those sectors. The leadership still tends to be male. And so these three factors are likely to affect where things head in the future world of work and could be turned into opportunities for hardwiring gender parity into the future of work.
Yeah, but Sadia, if you could maybe just share a little bit more on that, you know, why is this an opportunity for businesses?
Most businesses need to be thinking differently about where they find their talent for emerging new roles, about how they think about reskilling and upskilling the large majority of their employees, and third, how they should look at displacement in a more responsible way. You know, how does one go about that? Partly this can be about ensuring that there are equal numbers of male and female candidates for any such role, addressing some of the stereotypes, but also possibly reaching much further back into the education system and building partnerships with universities, colleges, high schools, and trying to get more women, for example, into STEM professions. So there are a number of ways that businesses can use to build that wider, broader pipeline of talent. A lot of what we've been suggesting in terms of messaging around this is that none of this is a foregone conclusion. We can very proactively shape the world of work for the future, including gender parity.
Based on the 2017 Global Gender Gap Report, the gap between women and men's economic participation remains wide. In fact, only 58% of the economic participation gap has actually been closed. And overall, the average gender gap actually increased from 31.7% to 32% worldwide. Now, while some of you may be thinking that doesn't sound like a lot, it's actually really worrying because it's a sign that we're heading in the wrong direction. So Sadia, you know, could you share a little bit about what some of the main causes or underlying reasons are for the increase in the gender gap in 2017?
Yeah, a lot of that happened because of some of the largest economies in the world regressing. So China, India, and the United States, when those economies move backwards, then of course that pulls back the global average. But at the same time, I think it's important to point out that there are countries which are doing better. So countries like France, countries like Canada, obviously the Nordic economies that have always maintained a very strong position in the rankings. These are all countries that are showing bright spots when it comes to gender equality. And very little of it is simply due to inertia. A lot of it is because of very targeted policies that have been put in place to plan for greater gender equality, more opportunities for women in the workforce.
So Sadia, you know, we've talked a little bit about what organizations can do, right? Mm-hmm. I just wondered if we could move to the individual level. So what can leaders today in organizations do to try and advance gender equality?
Yeah, we tend to think of it as sort of three levels: commit, embed, and scale. Committing to gender equality is one big piece of this, and a lot of the tone for that has to be set from the leadership of organizations or businesses, throughout senior leadership, managers at all levels. The second aspect is embedding this. And embedding can mean a range of things. It really depends on what your starting point is, what your baseline analysis around gender gaps is like in any particular organization. But one aspect of it tends to be around the pipeline of people that are coming in and ensuring there's greater gender equality within that. A second aspect tends to be about, you know, is there a level playing field for both women and men inside an organization? Are there the same opportunities for progression, for promotion? And the third element is on scaling. And by that, we mean the influence that businesses can have well outside of their own workforce. So whether it is through advertising, whether it is through supporting entrepreneurs, whether it is CSR initiatives that take place in specific communities, there's a lot that can be done that goes well beyond the direct workforce of a particular business.
So Sadia, you know, a lot of people listening will be wondering, what are the skill sets that I need for the changing world of work? And, you know, how can I best prepare for that? Do you have any examples you can share or pieces of advice on what people can start doing today?
You know, a lot of the traditional thinking around the fourth industrial revolution would say that if there's a lot more technology embedded into everything we do, we all need to be learning a lot more about technology. And to some extent, that's true. There needs to be much more use of and ease of using digital tools. That does not necessarily mean that everyone needs to become a coder. We did a survey of heads of strategy and CEOs and heads of HR on the future of jobs. And what we found is that in the aggregate, the skills for which there is a growing and greater premium than ever before are actually very human skills. So it's things like creativity, things like collaboration, things like critical thinking. And so a combination of use of technology technology or ease of engaging with technology, along with honing further critical thinking, creativity, and collaboration, is the right combination in today's workforce.
That's really great advice. I just wonder, though, for women, do you have any sort of specific messages on what we can do to get ahead of the curve?
The more general advice applies to women and to men. So, you know, developing more ease of use on STEM and digital skills, and then at the same time, really growing the creativity, collaboration, critical thinking. That applies to everyone. But I guess if there's a second piece to this, which is perhaps more applicable for women to at least be conscious of, it is that there is a greater premium on diversity in this current context. New ideas, fresh ideas, creative ideas are important. And so being confident in that new premium that comes from diversity is probably a key piece to bear in mind.
It's always really fascinating to think about the future world of work and the skill sets that we need to survive. Many of the jobs that exist today won't tomorrow. The World Economic Forum Future Jobs Report estimates that about 65% of children entering primary school today will actually end up working in jobs that don't even yet exist. Not only will our jobs change, but how we communicate and work together will also be different. Workplaces are becoming increasingly diverse. People from different generations, cultures, ethnicities, and backgrounds are all going to need to work together. Not only do you need to work well with others, but you actually need to be able to get work done through others. And when it comes to women in the workplace, companies have to put some of the solutions we talked about today in place if they want to survive the changes that are coming, and more importantly, if they want to harness the unique skill sets that women bring to the workplace. Everyone for tuning in this week. I really hope you were able to take away one or two key points and actions from my conversation with Sadia. On our next episode, we're having a chat with Faye Raincock, who's the head of communications for Havas UK. It's a global media agency that operates in around 140 countries. We're going to be talking with Faye about a really important topic, which is the online abuse women suffer. She'll be sharing some of her latest research findings and talking about the impact of the online abuse and what each of us can do to support women with this really important issue. It's going to be a fascinating episode, so we really encourage all of you to tune in next week.
From the Human Group, She Innovates is a podcast created with support from SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.